Welcome back to Business Resolutions with your host, Jorge Gonzalez.
Okay, well, we're back with Pablo Figueroa. And as I said at the outset, we want to cover some of his experiences as an architect entrepreneur. Pablo, I understand you started off with a firm and then move on your own. And I wanted you to sort of share with us the experience in a firm like I had and then moving on your own like I am doing.
Okay.
And that experience, you know, what were the experiences as a member of a firm? When did you like and did not like? And what was what brought you to then move on your own? And what was the experience like? What were the stress factors? What were the things that that you discovered that surprised you? And how did you solve them? Or how can we learn from the experience?
Okay, great. It's like a confession of my life in 5 minutes. But let me share with you, Jorge. I underscore, we share the same passion for conflict and negotiation and alternate methods to solve and face conflicts in a constructive way. And at that time, when I began as an architect 33 years ago, obviously my toolkit was limited. I thought, you know, if you have the technical skills, you have the basic knowledge, you know, you'll be successful. But I woke up to a different reality because, you know, when you're in a job, you have to have interpersonal skills. You have to be savvy, learning skills, compromising. How do you extract and learn to respect differences? I didn't know anything about that, anything. So I thought, my God, I know everything. I can get away with it. I don't have to listen to people. I'm an expert. So you can imagine the levels of stress. I had to in my first job go through 3-4 years and of really it was a humbling experience. And then right there and then, Jorge, I learned that I need to learn more and unlearn also. After very hard, intense years of being on a job, people ask me, why do you stay in this hostile environment? And I said, because I'm learning a lot. I was dealing with huge projects, and I was overloaded with work. But I think I took the right decision. I stayed there. I learned a lot, and I expanded my skills. And then when the opportunity came to start my own firm with a big project also, I was ready for it. But the thing is, there's the second reality. When I got started my firm, you know, I had my ego boosted. And then the second shock was that, you know, I had to reinvent myself and relearn, because my drive, which was the adrenaline to start up a business as an entrepreneur, I needed not only architectural skills, technical, but I needed entrepreneurial skills. And then I realized that I was successful, and I started my business with that drive, with that passion to innovate, to create new things, new way of doing things. But then I realized that I have to, that what took me from there to here, I needed now managerial skills. I needed invoicing, financial, how to deal with banks, credit lines, recruiting, evaluating,
marketing,
sales, quality control, operations.
All with just you.
And it was impossible.
Just you.
It was in a conundrum, because either I learn it or I hire. So I ended, you know, some I learn, some I outsource. And that's really painful, because you have to realize that, you know, for a startup, adrenaline and just passion, it does the work. But once you're successful, and then you have to apply, you know, sophisticated managerial skills, entrepreneurial. And then comes the second phase. You start growing and you expand your business. But then comes competition. And then the only permanent, although it's a cliche, but it's the reality, the only permanent thing is change. You have to constantly reinvent yourself, add value to your proposition. And then comes the second phase. You have to really, really, I had to go back to study. And I had to enhance, for example, the largest, the industry which is growing the most is the conflict industry all over the world. And construction and design is one of the most contentious areas because you deal with so much variables and changes and lots of money. And you had to equip yourselves. I had to equip with conflict and negotiation skills. Things like simple as listening, learning to extract value from differences, separating the problem from the people, being hard on the problem and soft on the people, and joint fact-finding, accepting mistakes. So I think, my God, you know. But that saved my life, because when I applied those conflict and negotiation skills to my business, the stress went down. It was more profitable. I could not only make deals, but mend deals and manage the deals more constructively. The business relationships lasted longer, and it was more fun.
Well, the I think all of us, when you come out of school, you think you know everything. But I think legal expertise, or in your case, architectural, or whatever your area is, is acquired, and it comes with experience, etc. What I have found, and I give a course at the University of Puerto Rico, and it's called The Effective Lawyer Beyond Legal Expertise. And so it basically says what you were saying. The expertise is something that's not easy to obtain, but you can obtain it, and you can feel quite a bit of control in your area of expertise. But what never ceases to be a challenge is getting the thing done with the client and communicating and dealing that effectively. And the two things that I discuss in my course is responsiveness, which is really getting to know what the client really needs, what is their real problem, and listening, as you say. So it's, you know, being really responsive. And I coined this phrase called prosponsive, which is going even beyond responsiveness. Prosponsive, be very proactive to find out what their problem is. And so that's something, you know, often you have expertise and you want to do the thing that you want to do. And in architecture, you have to really listen to the client.
That's a big trap. What you just mentioned, because although you cannot relinquish your expertise and your responsibility and your fiduciary responsibility, that is not against. You have to listen, and you have to really address the client's concerns in a very creative and innovative way, which add value. But we have been trained, I think, in many sectors as experts. And instead of being descriptive, we are, from the outset, prescriptive. Right. And sometimes we miss so much, and we leave value on the table, because there are so many, when you're dealing with organizations and clients, some are complicated, some are complex, which is even harder, because complexity means that you have different nuances and variables and interdependencies that are not obvious. So you have to delve, you have to mine,
right,
and really try to grasp, and that's highly difficult, more so in the modern world. Because, you know, if something is complicated, it's easier to handle, because complicated means a process. You go from A to B and B to C, and the outcome can be controlled. But in today's world, we deal with complexities, with underlying relationships that are not obvious.
Right.
And also, you don't have the information or the access to that information.
So the first part, I mean, is understanding and dealing with the person and the complexities, as you said, it has. And the second attribute that I discuss, and it's what is close to the conflict, is persuasiveness. Because once you have the problem, you're in the, and you're you're in sync with the client, with a customer, and you know, and you know what they want, and you know what the problem is, and then you have to bring your legal expertise, you have to bring everything else that you have as in your toolbox, as you said, you have to bring it then to start persuading the client sometimes, and the customer towards the solution. That combines emotion and expertise and experiences, etc. And then you have to convince, whether it's the other side in a litigation or whether it's the other side in a negotiation or in the government. Then you have to persuade a whole group of people to then move towards a solution. And all those forms, a new set of discussions and of listening and all these things. So the complexity of using your expertise to then achieve, you know, effectively the solutions is what is mind-boggling, challenging, exciting, but the most difficult thing that we as professionals, as business people, face all the time, and all day long.
And it's doable, and it's a value-added proposition for various reasons. For example, if you sometimes, you know, We'll continue. You know.
Yeah. Well, no, but we'll come back to that. We'll follow it, but we need to take a break. So we'll be back with Pablo. Okay.